Matthew chapter 12, please. And the words of verse 40 are our text today. Matthew 12 and 40. It tells us, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Just think of those words. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We're going to take up the question this morning, an interesting question as it is. What day of the Lord, or what day of the week, was the Lord Jesus really crucified? But we're going to think a little about his death. And remember, men and women, that the death of Christ is the most important event in all history. It is his death that divides history. There's a sense in which the death of Christ divides homes, divides families as well, and it will divide humanity even for all eternity. You're on one side of the cross or the other. The death of Christ is the most important event in history, and it ought to be carefully studied by every person, but especially it ought to be carefully studied by every believer, by every child of God. This is something that we should give constant consideration and meditation to. And we ought to be, brethren and sisters, familiar with every part, every aspect of the death of Christ. We should be increasing in our knowledge of these things. Remember what the Bible says, that we're to grow in grace and in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every day we live, we ought to know a little more of him. Do you remember Paul at the end of the journey? He was an old man when he cried out, "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection." And we ought to have that desire, just to know a little more of the Savior. And especially, it's his death that means so much to us. By his death and sacrifice, we were delivered from a lost eternity. And men and women, we ought to have a desire to be familiar with the death of Christ in every part. And that includes the day of the week. What particular day of the week was the Savior crucified? That's what we're going to consider. That's what we're going to study just for a little while today. I think it's especially appropriate, as it is Communion Sunday. In a few minutes' time, we'll gather around the table. We'll sit together at the table of the Lord. So it's appropriate to think about the death of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to think particularly about the day that he was crucified upon. The first thing I want just to consider with you is the idea of the day. Most people have a very fixed idea about the day the Lord Jesus died upon. And I'm sure most, if not everybody in this meeting, falls into that category. You have fixed ideas. And they accept that idea without any consideration, without any thought been given to the Scriptures, to what the Bible says, to what the Bible has recorded. They don't give very much thought to it at all. And the common idea is this, men and women, that the Savior died on a Friday. Coming up to Easter, they talk about Good Friday, so-called. And it's referred to as Good Friday because it's looked upon as a holy day or a pious day. It's good in that sense. That's why it's given that particular name. But I want to tell you today that that idea of the Lord Jesus dying, being crucified on a Friday, is actually founded on a tradition. In all probability, a Romish, Popish tradition. It's certainly not found in the Bible, and it's certainly not taught by the record of God's word. You might ask the question, if it's an error, well, how did it begin? Well, it began in the same way that every error commences, by carelessly reading the record of the Word of God and misunderstanding the things that are taught, the things that are said, and the things that are set forward in the Bible. For example, Luke records, and that day, it says that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. That's referring to the day the Savior died. The day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. Mark has a record similar to it. He says, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Both of those verses, Mark and Luke, both record, they both say, the day after the crucifixion, the day after the Lord died, was a Sabbath. And this is the way people think, men and women. This is how they reason when they read verses like that. They think to themselves, well, in Israel, among the Jews, that the Sabbath is on a Saturday. So they say that if he died on the day before the Sabbath, well, that must have been the Friday, what we call the last day of the working week. But I suggest to you this morning that that idea is wrong. And that idea, men and women, is wrong entirely. And neither of those verses, neither what Luke or Mark says, if you read them carefully in their context, and if you understand properly what they're referring to, neither of those verses or any other will lead you to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus died on a Friday. I'll deal with the question of the Sabbath in just a moment or two. But think for a moment of the words of Christ. He says here in the words of our text that he will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, if he was crucified on a Friday, that could not be, brethren and sisters. At best, he was two nights and a day in the heart of the earth. In other words, Friday night, all day Saturday, and Saturday night. But remember this in all the reckoning with regard to this matter. The Jewish day begins at sundown. They don't count their days from midnight to midnight as we do. If you have been to the land of Israel, you will know that. The Jewish day begins at sundown, and it ends at sundown. You remember the words recorded in relation to the creation? The evening and the morning were the first day. That's how they count their days. That's how they mark them. The evening and the morning, the day for the Jew, begins at sundown. Now, the Savior was buried at sundown on Friday, and he rose just after sundown on Saturday, because remember, he rose very early the first day of the week. The Bible actually says when Mary Magdalene got to the tomb, it was still dark. Think of that. Here's this woman, and she's at a grave, the place of the burial, and it's still dark. The daylight hasn't come. But if the Savior was buried at sundown on Friday, and he rose just after sundown on Saturday, that would mean he's only in the grave for one day. Just one day. So in the light of what the Savior said, men and women, in the light of this text, and remember it's a very important text, the Jews asked for a sign from the Savior. And this is the answer that he gave. He mentioned Jonas, and he spoke about 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's a reference to his death and to his burial. And the idea, men and women, of a Friday crucifixion in the light of that is mistaken, greatly mistaken. It could not be so. So that's a little about the idea. Let me say something in the second place about the identity of the day. The question, of course, arises, if it wasn't on a Friday, then can you identify the day that the Savior died for us? Well, I believe I can. And the answer, men and women, is he died on a Wednesday. He died approximately 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. Remember, it was the ninth hour. They count the hours from about 6 o'clock in the morning. He died at the ninth hour. So that would be 3 o'clock, and it was a Wednesday afternoon. Remember, he was buried around sundown the same day. And he rose shortly after sundown on the Saturday. In other words, early the first day of the week. And we must accept that position if we're going to accept the Saviour's words, that he would have been in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. If you count back, just take the time, it's not a difficult sum. We're only getting up as far as the number three here. If you count back 3 days and three nights from sundown on Saturday, and that's when the first day of the week started, you come to Wednesday. It's not right. Simple arithmetic. It's not very hard to work out. Now, I know that some people will argue Jesus only meant us to understand a part of 3 days. He didn't mean three entire days, three complete days of 24-hour cycles. Can I say three things to you about that for your consideration? One is that there's no evidence of that in the Bible. There's no evidence to suggest that that is what the Savior meant. The language is clear, men and women. That's the second thing to emphasize. The language is clear. The Lord's not speaking in riddles. 3 days and three nights. Does that not mean what it says? In other words, three whole days is what the Lord Jesus is actually referring to. And the third thing to keep in mind, if you want to believe it was only parts of days, is that everybody believes that Jonah was three full days. 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Is that right? There's not a person who doubts that. There's not a Christian that would throw any question upon the fact that it was three full days as far as Jonah was concerned. And the Savior said that what happened to Jonah would happen to him as well. But what about that question of the Sabbath, men and women? The Savior being crucified on the day before the Sabbath. Well, here's the question you need to consider. Which Sabbath is being spoken about? It's not actually the weekly Sabbath. It's not the seventh day, which was the Jewish Sabbath, not the Sabbath that was found or taught or spoken about in the Ten Commandments. Here's something to remember when you read the Bible. Don't think that every time you read the word Sabbath in the Scriptures that it's referring to the weekly Sabbath. Don't make that mistake, men and women. Israel had many Sabbaths. They had what were known as ceremonial Sabbaths. If you want to do a little study on those, read down through Leviticus chapter 23, through the dust of the book of Leviticus, and read there about the ceremonial Sabbaths that Israel had to observe. The day after the crucifixion of Christ, it was a Sabbath, all right, but it wasn't the weekly Sabbath that the Jews were so strict in observing. In actual fact, it was one of the most important, one of the most prominent of the ceremonial Sabbaths. It was the Passover Sabbath itself. And that's how the Passover was described in the Bible. Remember that they ceased from all servile labor. That's what the Bible teaches. On these ceremonial, on these feast days, they treated it just like a Sunday. And they referred to it as a Sabbath. Now let me show you that. I want you to take the time just to turn yourself to John's Gospel. If you want to keep the finger where you are there in Matthew. But turn over to John 19. Just for a moment. The 19th chapter of John's Gospel. And look there at the words of verse 14. I want you just to say it for yourself. You might like even to take your pen and mark the verses so you can find them again. It's good to do that. We're in John 19, verse 14. Look at what it says. Talking about the day the Savior died. It was the preparation. But notice what it was the preparation of. It was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. So what they were preparing for, men and women, wasn't the weekly Sabbath. It was the ceremonial Sabbath of the Passover. And just to leave you no doubt of that, you might like to come down the chapter a wee bit to verse 31. It says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. And notice the words now that come in brackets, just for clarification. For that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. You see the words in brackets, men and women. I remember Mr. Paisley saying once that it's a great study just to go through the Bible and to study the things that are put in parenthesis or put in brackets. Little bits of information that the Lord puts in. Sometimes we pass over them very, very quickly. But the Lord puts them there to help us, to give us a clearer understanding. Notice the words in the brackets, that the wording's there deliberately for clarification, brethren and sisters, to leave us in no doubt of what was happening in Jerusalem at that time and happening in Jerusalem during that week. What he's actually saying to us is this: don't confuse this Sabbath. Don't make the mistake of confusing the Sabbath that's been spoken of here with the weekly Sabbath. This Sabbath that followed the crucifixion was a high day. It was a special day. It was out of the ordinary. It was one of the feasts, one of the festivals of the Jewish people. It was an extraordinary Sabbath, as I've mentioned. It was the Passover. Now here's something very interesting. If you study the scriptures carefully, what you'll see is that during that week that the Lord died, there's actually four Sabbaths, and they were all in a row. Four Sabbaths during the one week. Sometimes as Christians we think it's bad enough to have one Sabbath, one day when you set aside the things of the world. Well, during this week, they actually had four. Thursday, which was the 14th day of the month, that's the day they kept the Passover, the 14th day of the first month. Thursday, the 14th of the month, was the Passover. Friday, the 15th of the month, that was the Sabbath of unleavened bread. And if you read Leviticus 23, you'll see that it followed on immediately, the very day after the Passover. And then Saturday, the 16th of the month, that was the weekly Sabbath. Three Sabbaths. And for all of those three Sabbaths, the Lord Jesus was in the tomb. The Lord Jesus was buried. And then the fourth Sabbath, that's what we would call Sunday, the 17th of the month. And remember, that's the day the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead. And that's what became known then as the Christian Sabbath. Do you ever ask yourself the question, why do we no longer worship God on the seventh day? That's what the Jews did from the very beginning of creation. They worshipped on the seventh, we now worship on the first. Why was there a change? And another question you add to that is, when did the change actually take place? Sometimes somebody might ask you that. Well, the change took place on the day of the resurrection. The day of the resurrection of Christ. And the change took place because this day, the day that we're meeting on to worship God, is a memorial day. This is a memorial sacrament, a memorial feast, if you like. The table that we're going to wait around in a few minutes' time, it remembers, or it helps us to remember the death of Christ. But there's also a memorial day, the Lord's Day. This day reminds us of the work of Christ and the fact that he finished that work. After creation was complete, God rested. It was a memorial of the finished work of creation. Well, the same was true of the greater work of redemption. Immediately after the work was complete and finished, there was a Sabbath. There was a rest. This day reminds us of the resurrection of the Savior. So four consecutive Sabbaths. The Passover, unleavened bread, the Jewish Sabbath, And then the very first Christian Sabbath that the early church ever observed. So that's a little just of the identity of the day that the Lord Jesus died upon. I'll finish just with this, men and women. We've thought about the idea that many people have the identity of the day that he died. Think of the importance of the day. You might ask the question this morning, or others might ask it of us, what does it really matter which day he died upon? Whether it was Friday or whether it was Wednesday. Some would say to us, the important thing is that he really died, and that he died for our sins. And there is a certain amount of truth in that, men and women. That certainly is the most important thing. But the day that the Lord Jesus died matters for this reason, this vital reason. How reliable are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as they're recorded for us in the Bible? You see, the matter that's at stake here is the authority of Christ. The truthfulness of his words depend upon the day that he died. And I'm sure that you would agree with me today that that is a very important matter. If he wasn't 3 days and three nights in the tomb, in the heart of the earth, then his authority is weakened. His word cannot be trusted. It cannot be depended upon. And if we can't trust what Christ said on this matter, it's just a record of facts. It's just a historical detail. If we can't trust what the Lord said on a matter like this, then how could we trust him on anything else that he speaks upon? How could you trust anything else that he has to say, especially when it comes to the great issues of salvation, redemption, and eternity? You see, men and women, the Friday crucifixion, it throws a doubt on the word of Christ. It's a ploy of the devil in that regard. It's a subtle attempt to undermine his word and to bring tradition, because that's really all a Friday crucifixion is. It's just nothing more than oral tradition, something that has been passed on by word of mouth down through the centuries. It's a subtle attempt to undermine his word and to bring oral tradition in its place. So don't be mistaken. This is a vital issue. This is something of great importance to us as God's people. Christ's word, the Bible says, is sure. Do you remember the story of the wise man and the foolish that built the house on the rock and the house on the sand? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. He's talking about his own word. Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. You're placing your life on something that's sure. The word of Christ is solid. The word of Christ is dependable. But by things like this, the idea, the whispering suggestion of a Friday crucifixion, that puts a doubt upon the sureness and the certainty of Christ. He said 3 days and three nights, and we believe that, men and women, to be so. Which day of the week was the Lord Jesus really crucified on? I pray that what we've said this morning, you'll have found it helpful. It might even help you and encourage you a little more in your own studies. You might like to carry these things on a little further yourself privately in a study of the Word of God. But may the Lord bless his Word to our hearts today. 650.